So I have the pleasure of introducing my coworker. I get to sit 15 feet from Jesse at work 8 hours a day. I think he's a good storyteller. Jesse was born and raised in Anchorage, but after going to school outside, he finally got it right and moved to Juneau. Nobody should be offended that he imported his girlfriend, who is now his wife. People do funny things for love. Jesse and Karen have 2 daughters with 3-syllable names. Jesse serves on the Juneau Assembly. He works for Senator Dennis Egan. He finds solace on ridgelines and accomplishment in precision. He is a lousy and unmotivated gardener. Here's Jesse Keel.
I don't know what it is that makes Alita think I'm a good storyteller. Is that, they call it Stockholm Syndrome? Or is that Helsinki? I can't remember. It's one of those. She's worked with me too long. So Alita mentioned that I was born and raised in Anchorage, and it's a little north of there that this story has its origin, or has its beginning. But if I run out of time, I think we need to tailor the calls. A cow moose goes, and a bull goes, oh, oh. So can you do those when I, instead of the doe and the... Okay. I'll just try and keep it under 7 minutes. So I thought a lot about outdated and what that meant and what I might talk about. And I sort of wondered if I could, you know, twist it a little and maybe a pun, maybe something about the days when I was dating, about why I've never done anything so unromantic as buy my wife flowers. She'd kick me out. And then we traveled a little bit around the holiday season, and I got to thinking, based on an experience there, and I got to thinking about economics. Yeah, Jeff's not, you're not going to laugh as hard as you did for Jeff. Sorry. No, I just, sort of this principle about price expectation and how we tend to think about what we expect a price to be based on our past experience. We tend to lag, and whether it changes to the good or changes to the bad, we're stuck back there. And I thought about that, and I wondered, good thing, bad thing? So it was, I think it was about 1995. I was back from college and a little break between the end of my summer job and going back to school at the end of that summer. So my dad and my brother and I, we went, we're going to take a couple of days and go up the Matsu Valley and go moose hunting. And we went up and we had a wonderful time. We saw one moose so far away up a mountainside, it's a cow or a bull. And we didn't even want to go look. And so we hunted. And we decided, you know, there's a couple more days here. And so my brother and I tended camp a little bit. My dad hiked out to the car and drove down the road to where he could get cell phone service. And called mom and said, we're going to spend a couple more days. Don't. I told her when we'd be back, and he came on back to camp. And so we continued to hunt, and we continued to not find any moose. And so the hunt came to an end. But you have to understand sort of the planning horizon and process of, I guess it would have been a 20-year-old male, maybe 19. Right, with my apologies to a friend of mine I saw in the audience, I had added these 3 days to the trip, which meant when we got back to town, I was going to need to help clean up, put everything away from the trip, deal with a car, wash everything I'd worn during the trip, everything I hadn't washed the 2 weeks of work before I went on the trip, take my bike apart so it would fit in the box to take it back to school with me, get a good night's sleep, catch the plane in the morning. Okay, that's fine. I can do that. Well, we got back and we we set off on these, okay, I set off on these endeavors, and I got the washing machine going, and I got the, you know, the gear put away, and I was packing stuff up, and I was helping with the car, and actually, you know, other than barking my knuckles pretty good with a wrench, taking the bike apart, and skipping that whole night's sleep part that I mentioned, I did great. But, you know, I was 19, 20, male, therefore invincible. And so in the morning, we packed up the car and drove off to the airport. Now, there are only a few people here who are young enough that they didn't really travel a whole lot on airplanes before, say, 2002 or late 2001. So for them, a brief refresher or perhaps information, you could at that time go with somebody to the gate and wish them goodbye. You couldn't go down the jetway because you didn't have a ticket, but you could go through security even if you didn't have a ticket. So we went to the airport, and Dad said, I'll go park the car, you guys check in, and we hauled the stuff, and my mom came with me because she was going to pay the extra bag fee for the bicycle because that was a week's groceries for me, and or other things that I might have bought with that money. And so we got all that taken care of, and Mom said, you know what, I'll wait here. When Dad gets back from parking the car, we'll go and we'll meet you at the gate, but you go ahead. Because my parents are as timely as I am. So I rushed off to security. And it was a less intensive endeavor in those days, airport security. So I walked up, and, you know, I had my backpack, and like everyone else at a college in the Pacific Northwest at that time, it was a JanSport. They could have said, no, black-tailed deer, I'm sure of it. They could have sent a photographer to campus and just taken pictures randomly and come up with good ads. So you throw your backpack on the belt, and you take off your jacket, and you throw that on there, and then you walk up, and you take your, you know, keys or whatever, and you just throw them in a little tray, right? Because back then, they didn't have to x-ray your pocket change. They could just look at it. And then when you go through the metal detector, they handed it to you on the other side. So I'm, you know, taking stuff out of the tray and putting it in my pocket, and I grab my backpack, and I look, and here's a very nice lady in a uniform, and she looks at me and she says, is this your jacket?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I look in the pocket?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, she had her hands right where she wanted. Smile was gone, and she reaches in, and out of the pocket comes this brown plastic case. This one right here. You know that feeling when all of a sudden your stomach drops around your knees? You go, oh no. Because it's, you know, it's labeled. It's got the caliber on it. I didn't wash my jacket. I washed everything else. I didn't wash my jacket. And so sure enough, out it comes, and there's no question in this person's mind. She knew what she saw on the x-ray machine. She knew what was in here, and she pops it open, and she goes, Pat, bullets! And I'm about to go, let me explain, when behind me, these booted feet go clump, 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 clump. And I have these visions of a gorilla in my head, right? 6, 7 steps, this person comes across the floor, and I feel this presence at my shoulder, and I look, and I'm gonna explain, I'm gonna apologize, I'm gonna weep, I look, and I go, oh, hi, Pat. We had worked together at an art gallery in downtown Anchorage. An artique gallery, Pat worked upstairs selling art to, you know, Alaskans and tourists, and I worked downstairs in the basement warehouse. I would package stuff up and send it home, or they wholesale Alaskan artists' stuff. So sometimes I would take these packages of, you know, 10 prints in a limited edition. I'd send them off to these weird, exotic places like Ketchikan. Yeah, I grew up in Anchorage. I couldn't point to it on a map. And Pat looks at me. Not bosom buddies, we know each other. And she says, hi, Jesse, what's going on? And so I explained about the trip and the jacket. And this is the point in the story where the cavalry arrives, or in this case, a 40-year-old balding man. And my dad says, everything okay? From the other side of the metal detector. And so I explain this all to Pat, and she agrees that it would be okay for Dad to take the ammunition back to the car and for me to go to the gate rather than a small room to answer intense questions under a hot light for 3 hours. A basic sort of Alaskan common sense solution. But I told you I was traveling over the holidays. And as I'm going through the industrial security apparatus at SeaTac Airport, I thought to myself, would that solution work today? Or is that approach outdated?